Hi, this is John Floridus. Welcome to Musician Spotlight. Our guest today is Colin Hay.
My, 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 it's a beautiful world. I like swimming in the sea. I like to go out beyond the white breakers, where a man can still be free, or a woman if you are one. I like swimming in the sea. Oh my, 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 it's a beautiful world. I like drinking Irish tea with a little bit of lapsang souchong. I like making my own tea. Oh my, 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 it's a beautiful world. I like driving in my car. Top down, sometimes I travel quite far and drive to the ocean and stare up at the stars. I like driving in my car. All around is anger and automatic guns. It's death in large numbers, no respect for women or our little ones. I tried talking to Jesus, but he just put me on hold. Said he'd been swamped by calls this week. He could not shake his cold. And still this emptiness persists. Perhaps this is as good as it gets. You've given up the drink and those nasty cigarettes. Now leave the party early, at least with no regrets. I watch the sun as it comes up, I watch it as it sets. Yeah, this is as good as it gets. So my, 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 it's a beautiful world. I like swimming in the sea. I like to go out beyond the white breakers, where a man can still be free, or a woman if you are one. I like swimming in the sea.
This is John Floridus, and you're listening to Musician Spotlight. I'm very pleased to welcome to the studio Colin Hay.
Nice to be here.
Great to have you here. Of course, many listeners will know Colin as the lead singer of the multi-platinum selling band Men at Work, but I think our listeners, too, also are very well aware of his successful solo career for now, gosh, a couple decades or so. His most recent recording is American Sunshine on Compass Records. One of the things I remember coming across in doing my research was that you're very fond of Westerns. I was hoping that maybe Montana had inspired you a little bit in that way. Have you come across any?
I've only been here for a day, so I've had limited.
Some cowboy boots on the street?
I've had limited contact with cowboys or their boots.
Okay.
But I love a good Western. I always have. It was one of the things that used to connect me and my father. You know, we used to watch Westerns together. You know, it's just one of those. Yeah, I'm very fond of cowboy films, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's mythological, you know.
Folks, I'm sure, think of Men at Work being an Australian band, and I'm not sure if they would know that you're originally from Scotland and moved to Australia in your teens and then to the States, I think like maybe in your late 30s or mid-30s or something. So you've had this very interesting life of living in three very distinct places. And I guess one of the things I wanted to ask you was, do you feel like that gives you a unique perspective in terms of your writing?
I wouldn't know whether it's a unique perspective, but it's definitely a perspective coming from different places. I think that, if you go somewhere to the other side of the world when you're a teenager, it tends to open up your mind somewhat, you know. And
for you, that was from Scotland to Australia, yeah. Like in your mid-teens or something?
I was 14. 14? Yeah. And then lived there for many years and, you know, traveled a bit with the band. But I came to California in around 89 and decided that I wanted to stay there. I mean, I wasn't sure how long I was going to stay there for, but everything was pointing away from Australia for me at that point. So I found myself in California. I had a record deal based in California, and it just seemed to me to be the place that felt most comfortable to me, and I'm still there.
And if I'm not mistaken, didn't your folks have a music store when you were in Scotland?
Yeah, it was a great way to grow up. From the age of 5 until I was 14, until I went to Australia, they had a music shop which sold, you know, guitars and pianos and drums and records and strings and all things. It was a small store, but it was a fantastic way to listen to music because, you know, I would hear it. All the records would come in on a Monday, and the new hit parade would come in every Monday, and so. And then off we went to the other side of the world. I mean, it was really, I listened to, when I was still in Scotland, I listened to Good Vibrations by the Beach Boys. And I thought, I want to go where that sound comes from.
Mm.
And I ended up going to Australia, which was, not so different from California in many ways. You know, very big country. Mm-hmm. Lots of, everything was big. You know, the ocean's big, the air, you know, sky is big. And it was like going into Technicolor.
Now, one of the things I'm realizing as I'm talking to you here and all the research I've done, I don't know if I came across, when did you actually start playing music and then writing your own songs?
I started playing when I was about 12. I had a guitar teacher just before I left Scotland. And then when I went to Australia, I started playing in bands when I was about 14. I started playing little folk clubs when I was about 14. And I started trying to write songs around the same time. I guess for 10 or 15 years, I was writing songs before I thought that they were getting any good, you know? I mean, I can't really remember those songs. I ran into a couple of guys I played with when I was 14 or 15 a few months ago when I was down in Melbourne playing a show. They came along to a gig and they reminded me of the fact that when we played in a band together that we used to play my songs, but I'd forgotten that.
Wow.
Apparently, I don't know what they were like, but anyway, they said that's what we did.
Traveling in a fried-out combi on a hippie trail head full of zombies. I met a strange lady. She made me nervous. She took me in and gave me breakfast. She said, do you come from a land down under? Women glow and men plunder. Can't you hear the thunder? You better run, you better take cover. Buying bread from a man in Brussels. He was 6'4", full of muscle. I said, do you speak my language, brother? He just smiled and gave me a Vegemite sandwich. He said, I come from a land down under. Wabidas flow and chunder. Can't you hear the thunder? You better run, you better take cover. Jaw, not a lot to say. I said to the man, are you trying to tempt me? Because I come from the land of plenty. He said, oh, do you come from a land down under? Oh yeah, yeah. Women glow
better run, you better take cover. We are living in a land down under.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Women glow and men plunder. Can't you hear the thunder? You better run, you better take cover.
This is John Floridis. You're listening to Musician Spotlight, and I'm speaking today with Colin Hay. I was interested to find out also that a lot of the tunes that people are so familiar with from that Men at Work era were tunes that started out as, for lack of a better term, singer-songwriter type tunes, guitar and vocals, very stripped down songs.
Yeah.
And I wondered if you felt like that, if a tune works in that setting, that kind of stripped down setting, it has a better chance of being a tune that you can bring to a band and then have it be expanded on.
Well, it's a tricky area, that, because, you know, some songs work really well just guitar and voice.
Mm-hmm.
And then you think, well, that's, you can use that as a yardstick and think, well, that's a song. If a song's going to be a good song, you have to be able to just play it with a guitar and voice. Mm-hmm. and have it work.
Right.
But then there are songs that really don't work like that, that require, you know, production and orchestration for them to really realize their full potential.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just as good a song, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
okay.
It's more circumstantial for me, is that in the sense that I just started off playing acoustic guitar and singing, so it's just my natural game.
Mm-hmm.
It could be something else.
Right.
You know.
And was it Overkill or Down Under, one of the tunes that became such a huge hit that you brought to the band in that kind of setting, and initially they were kind of like, not so much, and then it ended up being this huge, am I correct in that?
Well, we were rehearsing one day, and I had written Overkill the day before, and I went into rehearsal, and we were actually in a little recording studio, just a small little kind of demo studio, and I had this song Overkill, and I was quite excited about it, and I played it for the band, and they were kind of indifferent. They didn't say anything really. And then I think they took a break, and while they took a break, I just recorded it myself because I liked it, and I had this idea of what it would sound like, you know. So I just recorded it, and I did a demo of it, and just to prove to myself that it was as good a song as I thought it was.
Mm-hmm,
you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that they liked it after that. They seemed to like it anyway.
So did a lot of people.
Yeah. That one holds up really well.
It does.
Time, you know, that,
yeah.
One. I've never really stopped playing those songs because, you know, they were big songs and they were hit songs. And in a lot of ways, they're, you know, they have a relevance historically and so forth. And they're part of who I am. So obviously, I like playing songs that happened, you know, yesterday or the mm-hmm. day before, as opposed to something you did 30 years ago.
Right.
But I find that I get more out of the songs than I did then if I try and treat them like it's, you know, the first time you're playing them. In a way, it they tend to continue to be reborn in some way, and the life of that song kind of develops as you do. So, you know, you're always playing it differently and always finding a little different nuances, you know.
I can't get to sleep. I think about the implications of diving in too deep, and possibly the complications, especially at night. I worry over situations. I know we'll be all right. Perhaps it's just imagination. Day after day reappears. Night after night, my heartbeat shows the fear. Ghosts appear and fade away.
the sheets only brings exasperation. It's time to walk the streets, smell the desperation. At least there's pretty lights, and though there's little variation, it nullifies the night from overkill. Day after day reappears, night after night my heartbeat shows the fear. Ghosts appear and fade away, ghosts appear and fade away, ghosts appear and fade away.
Colin, your most recent album is American Sunshine, out on Compass. And can you talk a little bit about this project and how it came together?
Well, I started writing a couple of songs with a friend of mine who lives in Topanga near me. And he's a great guitar player and songwriter. His name is Michael Georgiadis. We're great friends and we've known each other for a number of years, but we'd never really written songs together. But I always liked the way he played. So I started to write a couple of songs with him, and that was what was really exciting for me, was the first two songs on the record, one called Old California and one called Prison Time. And I really liked those songs. And so they were, in a sense, the yardstick or the direction that I liked, that I wanted to go, which was really just exploring, not so much the geography of where I was, but just kind of letting the fact that, you know, I've been living in America for 20 years and letting, you know, whatever that means, letting it seep in to the songs, you know, wherever it felt like it, you know. And the idea for O California was that I was suddenly faced with perhaps the idea that I was going to have to go back and live in Australia for a while, which is not such a bad thing, of course. But I suddenly realized how much, you know, California had gotten in my blood, you know, and so I was slightly traumatized by the fact that I was going to have to leave it. But so that's where that song came from. And I don't know, I just, you know, it's been a very kind place to me, you know, the United States. And, you know, it's a very turbulent place, and there's lots of you know, extremes of thought and belief systems and so forth, you know. And you obviously have your own, and you weave your way through, and you find out, and you meet people, and you associate with people, and that you actually have some simpatico with, you know. Mm-hmm. But by and large, since I got dropped by major record labels around 1990, 1991, since that time, I've really spent the last 20 years or so just traveling around this country playing music for people. Hmm. So, and it's been, you know, for the most part, kind of extremely nourishing for me and fulfilling, because that's really all I've had. I haven't really had any, you know, radio support, mm-hmm. or, you know, anything behind me in terms of marketing or record labels that I used to have. So mm-hmm. it's pretty much just been, I turn up and an audience turns up. And that's what's really made, that's what my life has been, mm-hmm. professionally for the last 20 years or so.
Does it feel more organic to you in some way?
Well, or? I mean, it's always felt that way to me in a way, but it's just really, well, it's real, you know, because if they didn't come, well, it wouldn't be.
Yeah.
Because there would be no point in you doing it,
uh-huh.
you know. I just relied on that in a way, because that's really what I knew how to do. So I just trusted that people would come, you know, mm-hmm. and they did come. Sometimes it was a few people,
mm-hmm.
but it's taken about 20 years. But instead of it being maybe, you know, 50 people or 100 people, well, you know, sometimes 1,000 people come,
mm-hmm.
you know, which is a lot. I mean, that's a lot of people for me. And it's not because anyone is telling them to from any media source.
Mm-hmm.
It's more just all, it's just pretty much all word of mouth.
And they're seeking it out specifically.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I think people like to make some kind of connection.
Sure. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know, and you realize that that's in fact what you're trying to do as well.
I thought I'd never reach the water. I had to cross the desert and the great divide, drinking only golden promises and white lines in my eyes. And all the sons and daughters followed all the signs to paradise, believing only dreams and promises with starlight in their eyes. Oh, California, yeah, it's the one big love that you cannot end. Oh, California, well, it's not like before, but we can still pretend. I was swimming in freezing water. I could hear the music from the other side. I looked up and I saw my father. Tears were in his eyes. Oh, California, yeah, it's the one big love that you cannot end. Oh, California, well, it's not like before, but we can still pretend. We all still live for Friday night. Old habits die hard when you get them right. There's a broken dream in every grain of sand, but it's as close as I can get to the promised land. Oh, California, yeah, I can see you now from the top of that hill. Oh, California,
Colin, my understanding is that you've seen quite a surge in interest in your music from a younger demographic, from having it featured in TV shows like Scrubs and movies like Garden State. That's got to be an interesting thing to see, you know, people in their 20s and stuff showing up to, you know.
Oh, it's fantastic. I mean, that's speaking of the media, I mean, it made a massive difference to my live audiences and brought the demographic down by 20 years or something.
Wow.
You know? But I had a smattering of younger people that would come and see me, and it's never really been that old, my audience, because my experience is that as you get older, people who are a similar age to me don't go out anymore.
No,
they stay home.
That's
know?
Right.
So you're always attracting kind of an audience that are in their 30s.
Uh-huh.
You know, so the television, when you're not getting played on the radio, television is awesome. You know, and it was interesting too because it was a kind of a cult show, culty, but it was still really pop successful. Do you know what I mean? So
yeah.
it had quite a large following of people. You know, and it was a kind of a cool show to be involved with.
I've always thought that the key to getting out the 40 and over crowd is to have a daycare center next to the club.
Yeah.
So you could drop the kids off, you know, have some games and popcorn and stuff, and then the parents can go over to the, you know.
Yeah, and there was a guy wandered down the front a couple of years ago at a show of mine and just pointed to his watch and said, you know, are you going to play that song or what? I gotta go.
You're kidding me.
He said, I got a babysitter. I said, yeah, sure.
Oh, man, that's too much.
Two.
Nothing left, nothing came. Woke up this morning calling out your name. The more things change, the more they stay the same. Like dodging rocks in the pouring rain. I wanna know, are you doing well? 'Cause baby, maybe from this distance it's hard to tell. I wanna know, did you let it go? 'Cause I can't stop my mind from doing prison time. Someone left, someone blamed, stuck in the middle of a hurricane. The more I lost seemed like the more I gained, but still I have to ask you to explain. I wanna know, did you take a chance? Did you stay a victim of circumstance? I wanna know, did you find the door? 'Cause I can't stop my mind from doing prison time.
Colin, just a simple question, I guess. What keeps you motivated these days to keep going with this journey?
Well, I don't really know the answer to that, really. I mean, I think a lot of it's habit, you know, just the fact that I've really done this for so long that this is what I do, you know, and it's like it's a job, you know, it's how I make a living, you know. And that's a good motivating thing. I mean, my parents taught me when I was growing up that, you know, you have to work hard mm-hmm. in order to achieve things. So I've always tried to work hard at what I do. I mean, the work is good. It's not like it's down, you know, digging a trench or something, you know. It's a pretty good job where you go to different towns and play music and people applaud you after you finish playing a song.
Mm-hmm.
And I see many different parts of the world. And I still like traveling, and I still like getting up and playing the guitar, and you know, for the most part, I still like meeting people. You know, people are very nice as a rule. You know, they get a lot out of it, and so it's kind of like a service industry in a way. You know, I mean, I'm an entertainer. You know, I like to entertain people and make them feel better. You know, when they leave them than when they walked in,
mm-hmm.
That motivates me.
American Sunshine is the most recent album. It's out on Compass Records, Colin Hayes solo recording. Colin, thank you so much for taking time to come and speak
pleasure.
With us and visit us here on Musician Spotlight, and we hope to talk to you down the road.
All right.
Nothing's black, nothing's white. I hear echoes of your footsteps in the dead of night. No one is wrong, no one's right. I'm in the ring, but I don't wanna fight. I wanna know, are you doing well? 'Cause baby, from this distance, it's hard to tell. I wanna know, did you let it go? 'Cause I can't stop my mind from doing prison time.
This is John Floridas. You've been listening to Musician Spotlight. My guest today has been Colin Hay. If you have comments or guest suggestions, you can call us at 243-4931 or send us an email through our website, mtpr.org. Musician Spotlight is a production of Montana Public Radio.